Keith Murphy back on board with you for this edition of the Urban Journal. And this page of the show is being brought to you by the Mortgage Holiday. You can check them out online at SaveOurEconomy.com. And last week, a broad coalition of organizations and individuals dedicated to an honest and accountable government launched Restore Justice at Justice, a campaign to clean up the Department of Justice's sad record of political prosecutions under George W. Bush. These organizations represent hundreds of thousands of members, and they have a strong track record of spurring action on crucial issues. And a spokesman for Restore Justice at Justice is the renowned advocate for electoral reforms, Brant Friedman. And it's my pleasure to welcome Brant back to the Urban Journal. And it's been a while, but good to have you back on, Brant.
Hey, thanks, Keith. Great to be here.
Let me start out of the box and understand who are some of the organizations that make up this coalition.
You've got a bunch of progressive organizations, folks who have been calling for accountability for some time. And now we've got, you know, a very specific call in this Restore Justice at Justice.com campaign, because we've got finally a new attorney general, and we're looking back at the Bush administration and the politicization, frankly, of the Department of Justice to use it as a political bludgeon like I don't believe we have ever seen before in the history of this country. And it was used for bringing prosecutions against Democrats, political prosecutions. That makes it illegal entirely. You cannot bring a prosecution simply because someone is of a party you don't prefer.
Sure.
And at this point, Eric Holder needs to go back, take a look at what happened during those years, identify which of these prosecutions were brought due to mere partisanship, and take action on it to let us, we the people, know which prosecutions that occurred in, and let us know whether these charges have merit or will be simply vacated because they shouldn't have been brought in the first place.
Brant, I'd have you tell us who are some of those who were wrongly convicted and where their cases stand at this particular point.
Well, you've got a couple of well-known political prisoners here, really. Governor Don Siegelman jumps to mind. He was the Democratic governor of Alabama, and if you take a look at this prosecution, I mean, it was really just a kangaroo court that convicted him. The husband of the United States attorney who brought this prosecution, he had been the campaign advisor of Governor Siegelman's opponent, the governor who unseating of Siegelman.
Mm-hmm.
So this was, and we've had a whistleblower come forward in this case claiming that Karl Rove himself asked this woman to find dirt that could be used against Governor Siegelman. He had been thrown in jail for many months. It was incredibly unusual that he was not allowed out on appeal, during the appeal of his case.
Sure.
He sat in jail for months and months. Finally, he was given an appeal, and he was allowed to come out of jail while this appeal moved forward. You saw a similar case in Mississippi with a fellow by the name of Paul Miner, a very well-known Mississippi Democratic attorney who had raised a lot of money for Democratic officials down there. He was similarly thrown in jail, and it was so bad with him, his wife was actually dying of cancer, and they would not allow a release so that he could be with his dying wife. And unfortunately, his wife died just last week, and he was not able to be by her side during it, again, because the same political folks were doing everything they could to keep him where he was. Now, look, if there was legitimacy to these prosecutions, if it wasn't political, if it wasn't partisan-based, so be it. That's what an investigation needs to find. But we need to go through it find one way or another whether these were partisan, and if they were partisan, if they were political, then these charges need to be vacated, much as, and I applaud the Attorney General for vacating the charges against the Republican Senator Ted Stevens up there in Alaska when he came in, looked at the case, and found that it was not all that it should be. But this needs to work on all sides of the aisle here.
Is there a formal response thus far? What have you, or what has the organization heard, if anything, from the Holder Justice Department?
So far, we've not yet heard anything, and this is despite the fact that we've got well over 700 organizations, people and organizations now signed on, everyone from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., to Scott Horton. You may know the attorney who writes over at Vanity Fair, who's been covering so much of the political prosecutions of the Bush regime and of the torture memos and so forth.
Sure.
So far, no response, but we're just starting the campaign. We're going to stay on them. We ask everyone to join us in signing this letter that I sent just last week to Eric Holder. You can go to restorejusticeatjustice.com. You can sign this letter, make your voice heard, and the people need to begin bringing pressure on our public officials to set things right after what we saw, 8 years of this abominable Bush organization and the way they mangled and used justice and the supposed rule of law to their political ends.
This may be a rhetorical question, but let me ask it anyway. Are members of Justice at Justice looking forward to Karl Rove's testimony under oath before Congress?
Well, unfortunately, it's not going to be a public testimony, at least at this time. He's agreed to give private testimony behind closed doors. Now, I've spoken with some of the folks in the House Judiciary Committee. They say they actually prefer that because they can ask more questions. It is going to be transcribed, and it's not going to be under oath, by the way, Keith. However, they point out to me that it doesn't matter whether it's under oath, because the fact is, generally when they give these oaths at these public testimony here, it's really just for show. The fact is, it is a crime to lie to Congress, and they have told me, at least, these sources at the Judiciary Committee, that they intend on holding him to his word. If he lies to Congress, they say, he will be held responsible for that. So I'm looking forward to, of course, to that happening, finding out what it is we hear out of that. It is long overdue. Karl Rove, Harriet Myers, Josh Bolton, other folks from this Bush administration, This needs to, continue moving forward. We need to have accountability. This is not retribution, as Barack Obama described it. He would like to, move forward instead of looking back. But the fact of the matter is, when you're dealing with crimes, you have to look back. You can't prosecute someone for robbing a bank tomorrow. You prosecute them for having robbed the bank yesterday. And that has happened all across this administration, and there needs to be accountability, or we're saying it's just fine, and next time a Republican or anyone else comes to office who wants to do these crimes, they can do them again. So we need accountability here.
Brad, let me ask you about, speaking of committing crimes, and some would call it outright immunity, let's talk about the recent immunity that was granted by President Obama to some of the operatives within the CIA who carried out torture. And does this not in itself scare you in terms of setting the tone for higher-ups to be let off the hook as well?
As far as I know, he hasn't granted immunity per se. He has said that he doesn't believe they should be prosecuted. Leon Panetta says they won't be prosecuted, but things change, and we have an obligation in this country. We are signatories on treaties that require us to bring charges and investigations and prosecutions where merited into torture. It's not an optional thing. We have to bring these forward. In after World War II and the Nuremberg trials, we made the case successfully that simply following orders was not an excuse to get you off the hook. Well, we've got folks in the CIA who were following orders and committing these illegal acts. Make no mistake about it, torture is illegal, and waterboarding is torture. And if you look at these memos that were released last week, I think there can be no question that we are talking about torture here. We put folks to death after World War II. We testified against the Japanese who were committing waterboarding against our own U.S. Folks who had been taken prisoner during that war. We testified against those Japanese officers. We put them in jail. Some of them we actually put to death. One of them, in fact, his son, Ernest Canning, has been writing at bradblog.com, where you can find me, talking about the fact that his father was waterboarded and testified against these troops, and he's looking at what's going on now and can't believe that we are unwilling to bring accountability to our own folks who seem to have done the exact same thing.
Absolutely.
We held against Germany and Japan after World War II.
All right, Brad, we're out of time. Put that website out there again for Restore Justice at Justice.
That's it. RestoreJusticeAtJustice.com.
All right, don't be such a stranger. We're going to get you on in short order.
Always happy to talk to you, Keith.
Thank you so much, Brad.
Thank you, sir.
Well, that's going to put the wraps on this edition of The Urban Journal. We'll see you tomorrow at 8. Be blessed.